Im heutigen Podcast geht es um die Karriere von Business-Analysten.
Und dafür haben wir Laura Brandenburg eingeladen, eine bekannte Business-Analystin aus den USA,
die vielleicht einige von der Website Bridging the Gap kennen.
Wenn ihr wissen wollt, was das Wichtigste ist, um als BA erfolgreich zu sein,
oder ob es geborene Business-Analysten gibt,
und welche Tipps und Tricks helfen, eine erfolgreiche BA-Karriere zu starten,
dann hört jetzt weiter.
Sie hören den Business-Analyse-Podcast Wissen, was zählt mit Ingrid und Peter Gerstbach, www.businessanalyse.at. Denn Erfolg beginnt mit Verstehen.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Episode unseres Business-Analyse-Podcasts
Wissen, was zählt
mit Ingrid
und Peter. Heute gibt es ein Interview mit Laura Brandenburg, das gleich folgt in englischer Sprache. Viel Vergnügen! Today, our special guest is Laura Brandenburg. She has his own consulting company for business analysis and is host of Bridging the Gap. So welcome, Laura.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Your website, Bridging the Gap, was one of the first I studied in detail when I started to work on my own BA skills some years ago. It's a great website, and yeah, so we want to know more about you and how your beginnings as a BA have been.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm glad you've enjoyed the website. We've been around for, I think, going on 5 years now, maybe a little bit more. So lots of content built up over the years. But as far as me and how I got started as a business analyst, it was a little over 10 years ago now. I was actually a quality assurance engineer before I was a business analyst. So I was hired into a role where I was creating a new test process and kind of creating a new QA role within my organization. There was a QA team, but there was one part of the system that nobody really tested with much detail. And so I was put in charge of doing that testing. And then I like to say that I bugged the BAs enough about the requirements that they finally asked me if I would join the business analyst team. Mm-hmm. But I think I was actually using a lot of transferable skills because I was building a new role, which is a lot like creating organizational change and analyzing processes. And I definitely understood, you know, I started to learn how to run meetings and facilitate buy-in on a test plan, and just a lot of skills that served me really well as a business analyst. And so I was offered an opportunity to apply for a job on the BA team. And the rest is a little bit of history at that point.
Did you already know what a business analyst is at that time?
It's funny because actually I knew what the role was like in our organization, but this precedes the introduction of the International Institute of Business Analysis. The job title that I actually started with, which I consider my first BA role, but my job title was systems analyst. Mm-hmm. And we did a little bit of technical analysis, but we did much more in the way of functional requirements and mm-hmm. business-driven requirements. Mm-hmm. So we didn't know it was a role. There was a senior person. It was a team of about three or four people. And one person who really said, you know, we need somebody who puts this documentation together and created really the start of this team that then I was offered the job into. Mm-hmm. And at the time, thought we were doing things that no other organization was doing, didn't know that there were other people doing similar roles across the world. So we didn't really know we were business analysts, to answer your question.
Mm-hmm. I find it interesting that you started with quality assurance, because I think there are many paths to a business analysis career. For example, my path was more involved with software development. Mm-hmm. So you explored the path from quality assurance to BA. Do you think, is there some kind of a typical path for BAs?
I don't think there is a single path for BAs. We do see a lot of software developers becoming BAs, but we also see an equal number of people coming to business analysis, at least in the US and Canada, from the business side. So they might start as a subject matter expert or a project manager or a technical writer or something like that, and move into business analysis as well. So I think there's a lot of roles that naturally lead to business analysis, and you know, QA is one, software development is one, and then there's roles on the business side too.
Mm-hmm. We have many business analysts in our coachings, and it's really interesting that most of them don't know that they are actually working as a business analyst. But they have on their business card project manager or quality engineer or requirements engineer. It is the same in Austria, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are organizations in the US that really have embraced the business analyst role and are maturing the BA role within their organizations. But there's still a lot of organizations where it's very similar. You know, it's done as part of the project management role, or it's done as part of another role, or a bunch of people kind of individually chip in to do different pieces of the role. Mm-hmm. So it's not embraced as an independent discipline. You can find examples of both
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm. Are there specific companies which have business analysts, or so is it the banking sector or telecommunication?
Yeah, that's a great question that I've never really looked at it from that angle, if there's specific industries. So I don't have a great answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the BA role tends to be unique by industry. Like there's some industries that require more industry domain experience, like insurance and banking tend to be industries where the BAs need to be an expert in that industry as well as knowing some business analysis. But I'm not clear on if, you know, there's a set of industries that have embraced the role more fully than others. It tends to be organization by organization, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's mostly also important what is the size of a company, if a dedicated business analyst role makes sense.
Mm-hmm. For sure. We do see it more along larger companies, but you can still find examples of larger companies that don't have a very mature BA practice.
Mm. What company do you work for?
Me personally, I work for my own. I'm independent at this point. And so mostly I'm focused on doing virtual training for BAs.
Mm-hmm.
So you started as a quality assurance and then turned over to business analysis, and now you're doing training and coaching for business analysts, isn't it?
Yeah. And in between there, so I actually was a full-time business analyst at three different companies in three different states within the U.S. So I moved around a lot. And then I moved into I was at a very small company that did not have any sort of business analyst practice or project management practice or QA practice. And so moved into, was the first BA at that company. And then that role grew into like a director level role where I founded those three teams and those three disciplines in that organization. And then moved on and did some consulting in business analysis and some contract work in business analysis. And now I'm mostly focused on doing virtual training and coaching.
And what kinds of projects have you done as an independent business analyst?
A lot of the projects that I've been on, my first BA roles were all in the publishing industry, and specifically products that were online. So getting previously print content into an online environment for searching and browsing and in research purposes. So a lot of my projects have been content-rich web applications with a lot of functionality, so a lot of user-driven functionality, but that are products that are out in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
So and during those jobs and those projects, well, what do you find was most challenging about your job as a business analyst? Might be difficult questions, because I think there are always multiple things.
Exactly. I think as I moved, especially into a contractor role, and as I moved from like that first business analyst role where I had known this because I was in QA and I had done a lot of white box testing, so I knew the system and I knew the stakeholders and I knew the product. And then I, you know, moved countries and companies and took on a completely new role in a new organization, and I had some understanding of the domain, but it was a completely different organization. And so what has always been a challenge for me, I think one of the biggest challenges is just getting up to speed in a new role. I think myself, as well as a lot of people who are new in business analysis, want to be the expert, kind of want to have a way of doing things that's tested and known and, you know, kind of have a path to follow. But when you're consulting or when you're starting in a new organization, you know, you're learning so much and you have to learn so much to be successful. And so you often are kind of the least knowledgeable person, even though you're driving a lot of the project. And so just getting comfortable with that and slowing things down to a pace where, you know, my brain can absorb what's going on because I understand the conversations and the acronyms and the terms. And kind of having the confidence to slow things down to ensure understanding for myself and for everybody else.
Mm-hmm. So when people come to you, do you ask them or can you tell them why they should become a BA?
Yeah, I think, you know, like with any career path, I think people should become BAs because they have a certain passion for the role or at least enjoy the activities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really for any career. But for specifically for business analysis, I think, you know, there's got to be a desire to solve problems and to create change and to want to see progress in your organizations. But there's a lot of roles that actually are, you know, problem solving is really important.
Mm-hmm.
I think what sets the BA apart is that it's got to be, a drive to do more of a collaborative problem solving. So often, you know, one of the mistakes I would make when I was younger and less mature as a BA is I would go figure out what the solution looked like. And then I'd be like, look, beautiful solution. Let's go build it. And as the BA, you never really have ownership over building or implementing what your solution is. And so you have to get buy-in. And, you know, I learned more and more that drawing those ideas out of other people and helping them see each other's ideas is a much more effective and productive path. And so that collaborative aspect of problem solving, I think, is really important for a business analyst and kind of being able to let go of you know, what that solution is and kind of the ownership and the drive behind the solution and see people embrace it for themselves.
Mm-hmm. This reminds me of one part in your book, How to Start a Business Analyst Career, because there you describe what the typical day of a business analyst looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was something like, okay, you need to like working on your own, but it's also, there will be days where you just work on your own, but there will be also days where you work in team and have meetings and with many people around you. So you have to like both.
And, exactly.
So this collaboration, of course you have to like collaboration, but it's also always a mixture.
Mm.
Yeah, and you know, you could look at somebody from the other side who's maybe more of a manager or a people leader, and they might not have, I mean, part of, I think, what makes a good BA too or is a good fit is that you also do like to have some of that independent time, and you do like to think things through. And so it's not just about, you know, who has the best idea that's generated in a collaborative environment, but also are you helping people think through their ideas completely and with clarity? And so maybe you kind of have to have that mix, I think, of both sides of a little bit of that independent thinking, critical thinking work, as well as the collaborative work. And that mixed together really makes a good fit for a BA.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something I really like often because when I'm in meetings all the time, well, I'm fed up of it because I think it's sometimes too intense, and then I really like it having one or two days off and just rethinking what I've heard and creating models, maybe drawing something or doing collaboration one to one and rethink problems that have come up in the collaboration phase. So that's what you're referring to, isn't it?
Exactly. Yep.
Mm.
Yeah, and that can surface in different ways. Like for you, it might be, you know, you have a couple of days in intense meetings and then a couple of days you know, independent work. For others, I think more in full-time roles, it might split day to day where, you know, I spend a couple hours in meetings each day, but then I also have some time, you know, in the afternoon or the morning, wherever, to do the independent work. So that time can split differently depending on what kinds of roles you're filling, but there's always that balance of time that way.
So that's maybe some kind of you have to like this role as a business analyst and to be comfortable with this different phases of your work. If we come to skills, so more to hard and soft skills, what do you tell people you're talking to and you're working with, what they need as skills to do their BA work
besides problem solving?
Yeah, right. Beside the things we already had.
Yeah, well, I'll kind of speak to that at a high level, and then if you want to drill into any of these, we definitely can. But I think, you know, at a high level, the key skills would be verbal communication, which is part of that collaborative effort, but really, you know, meetings, listening skills, being able to paraphrase what you heard and drive a conversation and ask good questions. So very strong verbal communication skills, the analysis, which is kind of the problem solving part we talked about, but being able to think through problems and scenarios and use different models to figure out how to piece things together. So strong analysis skills and then written communication skills too are obviously very important. It's the output of our work is typically some sort of a document or something in text that describes, you know, what we've all decided on. And so being able to write very clearly in such a way that's not ambiguous and that is clear and understandable to business and technical stakeholders, I think, is another key category of skills.
Mm-hmm. What do you think if someone doesn't have the skills, or at least thinks he doesn't have it, how difficult is it to develop those skills?
Do you have to be a born business analyst?
I think, you know, there's that if you have that collaborative nature and that problem solving nature, I think those are the backbones. But then you kind of layer key business analyst skills on top of that. So you might know how to write a very clear document, but you might never have written a requirements specification, just as an example, or you might never have written a use case. But the use case technique can be taught. I don't know if I would hire somebody to be a business analyst if I needed to teach them how to be a clear writer, but I might be willing to teach them how to write a use case if they were able to write clearly. And same thing with verbal communication. There's some nuances to running meetings that are requirements workshops or specific to BA type work. But if you have an underlying skill set in being able to collaborate with people and ask questions and communicate well, you can learn those nuances that apply specifically to the BA role.
So you doesn't need to be a born BA. You can learn it, but some things.
Some skills have to be there.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned passion. There should be passion for this job, and you should like doing things involved with your role.
Exactly.
And to collaborate. I think this is really necessary to think and to speak with other people, with other roles.
Another questions I would be interesting is, how you would, how the job market maybe is in the US, and because I would be interested if it's some kind of an outsourcing proof job, and if these BA jobs are secure. Why should someone choose a BA role anyway?
The job market in the US is interesting. We're seeing, you know, we definitely, the business analysis market took a hit in the last few years. As the economy was difficult, but I'm seeing a lot of that, I think, rebound. It seems like I'm hearing more and more stories about people finding jobs and less stories about people getting laid off, which is a great, great thing.
Especially if you've trained them, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. It's always very validating to have a past course participant be like, oh, I got the job, or somebody who just signed up for, you know, their second or third course and I can't attend class today because starting a new job, you know, those are great emails to get. I always like getting them. But so I don't think, you know, any job in the U.S. is probably outsourcing proof. But I think if you compare it to other, the BA role to other jobs that are on projects, IT projects specifically, it's probably more outsourcing proof than, say, QA or software development. So we see more of those roles going overseas. You know, this is a generalization, and the business analysis staying, and the business analysis role does tend to change a lot when that happens, because you might be collaborating with somebody overseas who's doing the technical development. But a lot of times they do want the business analyst still located with the business team if they're a really business-driven BA and not a technical analyst. Mm-hmm. But the roles in the U.S. are really, there's a lot of fragmentation still in the business analyst profession. So we see just roles that are very specific to certain knowledge areas. We see very broad roles. We see senior roles and junior roles and industry-specific roles and methodology-specific roles. So there's a lot of different things of what it means to be a BA that are kind of all coupled together when I think about business analysis. There's not one definition of what a BA really is when it comes to a job description.
Mm-hmm. Is there any advice that you would like to pass on to a junior business analyst, or
how to start a BA career? So I think that's also the topic of your book.
It is. I also have and maybe in the notes we can put a link to the career roadmap that I put together.
Yes, of course.
Because the career roadmap helps, you know, it really depends where you're coming from. If you're already in a role that's kind of on the fringes of BA, I think, or even if you're not, I think one of the biggest pieces we see people get momentum behind the shift towards BA is just to start doing some business analysis activities. So an example of that would be analyzing a business process. And almost anyone in any role can probably look at a business process in their organization and put together a workflow diagram to describe that, and maybe put together a textual model to describe that, mm-hmm. To get more clarity on it. And so to start doing things like that, volunteer to get on projects and to serve a role on a project, whether that's a subject matter expert or to do a little bit of an implementation of some aspect of it, whether that's, you know, a technology implementation or a business side implementation. And just to start to demonstrate your skills and use your skills and learn more things as you go through. And a lot of people say they fell into business analysis, but I think you can kind of control that fall a little bit if you start volunteering for the types of activities that a BA would do. That's how we see a lot of people be successful at making the transition.
I think often people come to us and say, well, it's how can I get a BA job? I think some rely on certificates, but then there are certificates where you need BA, already have to had some BA jobs and BA practice. And I think it's in most companies, it's possible to define this their own job, because if you maybe come into a role and there is some task in a project to be done and you just say, okay, yes, I'll make it. Mm. Well, you can take over tasks and collect BA experience.
And that's another path through the roadmap. So, you know, accumulating experience, and also then is there a BA role in my organization? It might not have the title, just like my first BA role didn't have the title.
Yeah.
Or is there an opportunity then to create a business analyst role and then fill it, right? So by pulling together these tasks that nobody's really doing or paying attention to or doing in a disciplined way and bringing some more maturity to your organization that way. It's definitely one of the paths we see. And even in the US, we don't see a lot of success with a specific certificate or certification leading to a PA role, unless you also have some of those transferable experiences to bring along with you. We see some success for people just out of college who are, you know, did some, or college or university, who did some training and business analysis, and then get hired into, you know, that there's usually one or two organizations in any given local area that are hiring recent college graduates and training them on the job if they have some prior background in skill set in business analysis. But that's not usually a good path for somebody who has 10 years of professional experience, because those aren't paying, you know, you'd have to take a huge salary cut, and they're probably going to be resistant to hiring you anyways.
Mm-hmm. Is there something like a tip about networking that you feel that would help business analysts when they are starting?
Yeah, I definitely think that going to your local. I know you both have started an IIBA chapter, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of new BAs think that they can't go to the chapter meetings. For whatever reason, I get that a lot. Like, am I allowed to go? Like, you're not a BA yet. Yes, you're allowed to go. I think that's probably one of the best tips, is just to go to your local chapter meetings. And if you don't have an IIBA chapter locally, look for, you know, related disciplines where you might find people who are doing BA type of work.
Or maybe you should just start a new chapter, but that's maybe even more hurdle.
I see.
Yeah, that would be another option as well. But, you know, just go and start to meet other people who are doing business analysis or business analysis activities, and learn about what their jobs are like, and ask a lot of questions.
Just to learn from others.
So, for example, from the Austria chapter, well, we founded it 3 years ago, and maybe so actually somebody has to start it, and there was no chapter currently, and so we thought, okay, let's start one. So the IIB Austria chapter now is almost 3 years old, and well, in our case, we encourage everybody who is a business analyst and want to join this profession, or want to know about it, well, to come to a chapter meeting. And if you're new guest, it's always free. So, yeah, that's maybe helpful.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so thanks, Laura, for giving this insight about networking. Maybe it would be interesting for our listeners also to know how you started your company. So I introduced you as the host of Bridging the Gap. And well, there is you have one focus on BA careers. So maybe you can tell us something about what you do there.
Yeah, so Bridging the Gap is really focused on people who do want to get started as a business analyst. And as we've defined that, that has started to mean a few different things. People who are, you know, just learning about what a BA is and what they do. People who maybe have been doing it for a while, but hadn't really realized that there was a role. So in the position that, you know, you were in and I was in not all that long ago, and looking, okay, now maybe it's time to formalize my skills a little bit and really put a career path forward. Also sometimes people who are in transition. So maybe had a role that was kind of like BA or some, you know, or had a BA role and are now looking for new job positions. And so we try to help all of those people who are getting started in that way. So we really do focus on, you know, how do I go from not feeling like I'm a full-fledged BA to getting to feel like I'm a full-fledged BA. And so we do have the book, so How to Start a Business Analyst Career, which is really the foundation of my philosophy around that. And then you'll link to the career roadmap as well, which is a free resource on our website that kind of goes through the overall idea behind the book. And then we offer some virtual courses as well in specific business analysis skills and specific to the business analyst job search. And so those are all virtual and online. And we have participants from all over the world that engage with those courses. So It's really interesting to see how similar when we get on a call, how similar business analysis is, you know, in the US and Canada and Australia and UK. And if we, you know, we haven't had a whole lot of people from Austria or Germany yet, but I think we've had a few, you know, and similar challenges, similar types of ways that they're applying business analysis. And we really have more in common than we have different. So it's really interesting to see. And it's been eye-opening for myself as well as a lot of the people who participate.
Mm-hmm. Was there a time when you did know that it's time to create Bridging the Gap? There is a need from business analysts, or was it just, yes, you want to coach someone?
You know, Bridging the Gap has gone through a few transitions itself. So when I first started, it was when I was starting to do some consulting. Mm-hmm. So my idea was, I'm going to blog to find consulting clients. Mm-hmm. But then every time I would write an article, it would get picked up by other BAs. And it was other BAs who were responding to what I had to write. And so I wasn't really writing for the person who would hire me as a consultant. I was writing for other BAs. Mm-hmm. And then the most frequently asked question I got was, how do I become a BA? And okay. So over time, it really morphed into the site mm-hmm. that it is today. I didn't start it thinking that we would become a training organization. I just started it because I wanted to blog about business analysis because it's something I'm excited about, mm-hmm. and it really has morphed.
So there was just a need from others.
So it was exactly. the best transition, and it comes naturally. So now, how do you keep coming up with new material and content for Bridging the Gap? So where do you get your inspiration from and the content currently?
You know, we get a lot of questions from readers, and I'm always surprised. Like, we have over 500 articles on the website, and then there'll be a question and I'll be like, I don't have any link that I can send you or can answer that question yet. So a lot of the ideas are really driven by questions that come in from readers, questions that come in from course participants. And even, you know, new courses and products are usually driven by something that I see people asking or needing help with. And I don't really see another tool in the marketplace to help in that way. So it's really driven by all the input that we receive just by virtue of being online.
Okay, so what are the most the most common questions? So maybe the top 10 questions or the top 3?
Oh wow!
What would you say? What?
Yeah, top 3. I could definitely come up with. I think a lot of, you know, you've asked actually a lot of them. You probably come up with 10, but how do I become a BA? How do I become a CBAP, which is the Certified Business Analysis Professional offered mm-hmm. by IABA? What's the best certificate to become a BA? Or what training do I need to become a BA? Those are all kind of variations on a similar question. What skills do I need to become a BA? And then, you know, sometimes job-related questions, like why am I not hearing back when I submitted 100 job applications? Or why am I getting to the interview and not ever getting a job offer? So questions like that. And then how, you know, a lot of very specific, like what is UML or what is a use case? Or, you know, specific questions around very specific BA skills.
Do you have something on your own professional development plan this year? Or so is there something you want to achieve? Just something, you want to like to achieve. So you are already a CBAP. You have a really, really great website. Is there something you want to do or?
Yeah. I'm always working on something. This year I decided to work on facilitation skills. Mm-hmm. And so I've actually been, we always make one or two improvements each time we run a course session, just so that we're constantly improving and evolving. But I've specifically been looking for ways to facilitate things a little bit more effectively. And so experimenting with some different ways to run conference call sessions and get more engagement or help people that don't want to engage still feel mm-hmm. like they're participating. So that's been my my kind of skill set for the year that I've been working on.
Okay, great.
I think there is always something to improve on the personal skills, and so what do you think? So maybe this is appropriate final questions. What can you give our listeners an advice? How to overcome challenges that come up in the everyday life? So how to advance the personal career and personal skills of a business analyst?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's two practices that really help me continue to make progress. And one is setting goals in the first place. So when you see a challenge, writing something down on paper, however you choose to do that, whether that's a weekly goal, a monthly goal, an annual goal, but putting down on paper how you would like to improve.
And
not just, so there's actually three pieces of this advice, so putting something down on paper. And the second thing would be doing something tangible to practice with that. So where I see a lot of people, you know, they'll take a lot of courses and they'll kind of accumulate a lot of knowledge, but they won't go out and apply it. So making sure that you're mixing the knowledge with the application, so mm-hmm. that you're getting feedback and you're actually getting a result out of that. And so that's part of the reason our courses are structured the way they are, where part of finishing that course is actually doing something, usually in your organization, so that you're actually going out and getting that feedback and making that happen. And then the third piece, which sometimes sounds a little dorky, but is to celebrate in some way. So I think people forget to celebrate. Mm-hmm. Like they celebrate promotions and job changes. And I hear a lot like, oh, well, I'm not going to celebrate until I have the business analyst job title. And, you know, that might be 3 or 4 years down the road. You might have a business analyst job in a different job title. So I think stepping back and kind of celebrating achieving some of those small goals actually helps keep your energy up so that you're seeing that you're making progress and you're evolving, mm-hmm. And not waiting until, you know, something big and huge happens and then choosing to celebrate. Just celebrate all the little stuff and the big stuff will happen.
Mm-hmm. Are there any ways to measure and quantify the success of being a BA? So you mentioned to celebrate some stages,
When to know if I'm good, well, how to measure it. Yeah.
Well, there's actually probably two ways to answer that one too. Some of the things I've seen people celebrate are, you know, hey, I got invited to a meeting I've never been invited to before, or I asked a question in a meeting and I'm always the person who doesn't ask any questions, or I got assigned a BA task that I wasn't expecting. So those would be examples of like small steps towards becoming a BA that I think would be worth celebrating in some small way. So I mean, you have to go out and like buy yourself a new car, but you know, pat yourself in the back or do something nice for yourself. In terms of measuring the success of, you know, how do I know that I'm a good BA, which is kind of a different level. I think it really does come down to stakeholder feedback. And when you get to the end of a project, can you look back and see that everybody understood what was the outcome of the project? And were there a lot of change requests at the end of the project because people weren't clear on what the requirements were? Or were people pretty clear? And the change requests that came up were because they were learning new things. And so, you know, and they were relatively a small set of those change requests. So, I think that's a sign that somebody is doing good business analysis work and helping create that collaborative concept of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I especially like, I think it sums up what you said before, setting goals, doing
celebration,
writing it on the paper and then getting feedback and then celebrate the outcome. So that's Maybe it's just these two side medals, one on the project KPI, so like you mentioned just, and the one on the personal side. I think these two things are really valuable inputs. Well, have we covered all important aspects? What do you think of how to become a BA?
Or is there something we need to mention?
You know, there's one thing that we didn't talk about too much, which is the value of the skills that you probably already have.
Mm-hmm.
And so because we do see people in roles that are ill-defined and the business analysis profession is still pretty fragmented in terms of job roles.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I'm working with somebody, they don't even realize that they've been doing business analysis for 5 or 10 years. And so they position themselves as somebody who's becoming a BA when really, if they look back and learn the terminology and apply it to the work that they've done historically, they can instead position themselves as somebody who has the level of experience that's required for some of the job roles that they'd like to apply for. And so just to be thinking both forward and backward in terms of what have you already done that would be valuable to somebody who's hiring a business analyst, and how can you take that with you as you go forward.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody should check the past and the history, what BA tasks he already has done.
Exactly.
Great. So thanks a lot for this information. So I think they will help a lot.
Yeah, thanks for joining our podcast. We will provide some links to your websites.
Especially the roadmap, I think.
The roadmap you mentioned and other things. So every listener, he can look into the show notes. There will be links to all the resources Laura just mentioned. Yeah, so.
Wonderful. Thank you so, so much for inviting me to do this. I'm really honored to be, I guess not your first English speaker, but one of your first English speaking guests. So I appreciate the honor.
Yeah, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, you're really welcome.
Yeah, it was a pleasure chatting with you. And I think it's really interesting for our listeners.
Now to our listeners, if anybody has some questions you want to address to Laura, I think it's always possible to post on the website, and we will put there also the contact details to reach Laura.
Mm.
So if there are any questions, feel free to ask.
Yes. And especially read the blog or the book.
Yeah, we can really recommend Bridging the Gap and also the book. We like it personally very much.
Yes. Fine.
Okay, so thanks, Laura.
Thank you.